You can return, so to speak. We're talking about a retrial, whether it be l'schus or l'chov, doesn't matter. Dinin nefashos machzirin l'schus. Dinin nefashos, you can overturn the din if it's for schus, for the sake of schus. That is, he was found guilty. But now, new evidence or new ideas have emerged for schus. So that you could do. The ain machzirin l'chov. But you cannot retry a case for the purpose of chovah. That is, he was found innocent, and now you want, because of new information, same thing, well, obviously, for chov. Okay, is that there's something missing? It's not consistent. Because there should be mishpat echad. What happened to mishpat echad? It's justice. So now we have to ask ourselves the question. Either way, I mean, if you ask me, should it be subject? Should there be such a phenomenon of a retrial or not? The person was judged in court. A conclusion was arrived at. And now, afterwards, someone comes up with issues, problems, appeal, whatever you want to say. How would that strike you? Before we get into the Gemara, let's see, how would it strike you? What should be the response? Should we say, okay, keep trying it, or should you say no?
No.
A double jeopardy in the American legal system, basically, the way I understand it, obviously I'm not an expert, is that if a person is tried, say for murder, and the person is acquitted, found not guilty, so then he's immune from being tried again. Because let's say people are on the same case. On the same charges, yeah, the same case. No matter how offensive to people's reason it might be, there are cases which sound unbelievable. For example, the O.J. Simpson case sounds like unbelievable. In fact, he was prosecuted afterwards in a civil case. They couldn't prosecute him criminally, and he was found guilty on the civil. So no matter how preposterous it may seem, that's it. It has a certain finality, and he can't be tried again. The issue about overturning or retrying a case in halacha now, according to halacha. When I speak about new evidence, bear in mind that evidence is very inconsequential. What are you talking about evidence? Because we're basing everything on edus. So let's take the case where the person is convicted. It should be obvious that in certain situations it can be overturned. What? Let's say other edim come, which is possible, after the conviction. Is that what we're talking about over here? If other witnesses come, and they're makhish the first witnesses, or they're mazim them. So what happens? I'm sorry? In such a case, it seems clearly we accept edim up to the very moment of execution. In fact, that's what we told. Pretty much, we instruct the nido. We instruct everybody, whoever knows of schus. Certainly, if he knows of witnesses that will exonerate him, he's going to try and get in touch with them. That was the concern, that maybe he'll be shusik, that we really can't tell him that because then we'd be responsible for killing the first witnesses. True, but the reality is that therefore you see from that the first witnesses would be in jeopardy if he were to bring Adam Zomerman, Adam Hamazimin. Edim Hamazim, and certainly that would their testimony would be accepted. Their testimony is accepted, so then the whole case is overturned. Now the question is that what the Mishnah is telling us? That Mavzir and Luschus on that basis? Because you always have to be open to the possibility of new witnesses. Is that the Chiddush? That's a Devar Pashut. There's no Chiddush in that. Okay. Luschus, on the basis of what? Can't be new evidence. I mean, it can't be new evidence. The only new evidence would be an evidence which is machish, because they based their decision on the evidence the first, right? So if you tell me it's new evidence, it's evidence which is, let's put this, you can't say that they bring him back on the basis of new evidence. Because what kind of evidence are you going to bring in? Circumstantial evidence? a good question. I don't know if circumstantial evidence has any validity. You have to have edus. Beis Din operates on the basis of edus. If it turns out that you have contrary testimony that contradicts key facts, so that's edim hamakrishim. So if it's edim hamakrishim, so that seems pashut. Because then it turns out that you didn't have edus. If it turns out that after the fact that the Beis Din reached its conclusion without edus, so then it has no validity. Okay, that's the other way around. What about if he was found innocent? If he was found innocent, so you're saying that we don't bring him back l'chol. On what basis? Would it happen anyways? How is it conceivable? That is, once I've established that if he's found guilty and you have new edim coming forward to contradict something in the first testimony, that it's a double pashut that you accept them and the case is thrown out. That's a double pashut. Having said that, let's look at the other situation where he's found innocent. What's the halamina that you bring him back for guilt? How is that ever possible? And to follow that, if it works the other way around, that he was found innocent. He was found innocent. Now, what you have new edus. Edus that what? Edus that he committed the crime, but that was the edus. You had that edus already. On the basis of that edus, there was he was found innocent anyway. So what's the new edus going to show? Huh? I mean, unless he was accused of smoking on Shabbos, and then the other agent come and say no, he was cooking on Shabbos, then he would be retried because that's a new avera. It's not the same thing, right? I mean, well, obviously, if the second pair of agent come and testify that he was mechal Shabbos in a different way, then he would be retried because that's a new avera. It's not the same avera. It means he can't be tried once he's found innocent of the charge. He can't be brought back on that charge. But if something else, even if it's related to it, like Avodah Zarah, he was accused of worshipping one thing one way. And now he was found innocent. Now they're going to say, no, he was really worshipping a different Avodah Zarah, a different way. I think he can be brought back. He can be brought back for that. That's a different case. Yeah, it's a different Avodah. One thing has nothing to do with the other. That, right? That's not the issue. We're talking about bringing him back on this... I should put the whole thing. Person was exonerated on the charge. He was charged with Chil Shabbos, for example. But Chil Shabbos has to be specific. You can't just say it was Mechal Shabbos. You've got to be specific. What did he do? So let's say he was accused of smoking on Shabbos. And he was found innocent. That was Pesach. So he can't be brought back on that charge. And again, I'm saying, what would you, on what basis? Edom, so you have other Edom. What are they going to say? They're going to say the same thing as the first Edom. Unless you're going to say, if you have two other Edom, that he was Bechal Shabbos, but it was a different thing that he did. He cooked. He cooked an egg. Something like that. That, it seems to me, is not an issue of bringing him back. That's a new trial. That's a different Avera. As long as he's being accused of a different Avera, it's possible the person did... 20 of arrows in one day, which would carry the death penalty. So just because he was found innocent on one doesn't prevent anybody from bringing up charges on a different one. That's not what the Mishnah is talking about. Machzirin means on that very, very issue. Okay? Establish a scenario. We've shown that if the scenario is new, Edus, where he was found guilty, and you have Edom that come in his defense to contradict the first testimony, of course you have to accept them. That's not a chiddush. On the other hand, if he was found innocent, so then it goes without saying that he can't be accountable anymore because you already had witnesses against him, and on the basis of that testimony, nothing came to the conclusion of innocence on the basis of that testimony. So what a new witness is going to add? Unless they're going to have a different version of a sin, a different sin, in which case, if it's different, so he would be brought up on charges. I mean, just saying that if a person was charged with Chilul Shabbos and he was exonerated, that's it, he's immune, he can't be brought up on any kind of charge of Chil Shabbos. That's not the case, as long as it's something different. on the charge that was accepted against him, that he was found innocent on. Yes?
So what if...
Talking over here about, basically about Tos. That is to say that, as we learned, that after the trial is completed, as they march him out to be executed, so information is published. And the objective is, if anyone knows of a schus, which means to say it's possible that we made a mistake. If anyone knows of a schus, so then we'll reconsider. So what do you mean reconsider? The Sanhedrin itself is recognizing, is acknowledging that it's possible that they made a mistake in their reasoning or their knowledge of the law, of the halacha. Judah, you know, the Torah is extremely vast. And it's always possible that a person can be saved because of a very subtle technical point or whatever. And it's any Sanhedrin at any given time could be unaware, could make a mistake. If you look, there's different levels of Sanhedrin at different places and times. It's like anything else. Even today, I mean, that's the system. You go by the Bezdin, the ones that'll be in your own time. But it's clear, if you go to a local Bezdin, that's part of the it says that you should search for a superior Bezdin, because the more superior the Bezdin, the greater the Mishpat. I mean, most people don't look at it that way. It's like either it's a good Bezdin, so this is it, you know. Any Bezdin would say the same. Mm. It's not the case necessarily. Like anything else, there's different degrees of Torah scholarship. The higher the degree of Torah scholarship, the better shock you're going to get. But in terms of fulfilling your obligations as a Jew, if you go to a legitimate authority and he gives a ruling, that's the system accepts that ruling. Doesn't mean to say it's the truest possible ruling. So, it means that somebody brings up a point, an idea that the Bezdin overlooked, or was not cognizant. Had they known that, they could have reached a different decision. That's called Yesh Bo Mamash. They could have reached a different decision. It's significant. And we have to really rethink the matter. So now the question is, this is what we're talking about. The person has been found guilty and is being taken out to be executed, and now someone says, "One second, I heard all the, accusations and so forth. I have the information, and you people made a big mistake because your interpretation of the halacha is not correct. And I can show you through deeper reasoning or whatever that this does not carry the death penalty." And the Bezdin hears that. And they think that they say there's something there. Doesn't mean they agree, yes or no. Yesh bo mamash means you're raising a valid point. I really have to think that through. And after thinking it through, I may disagree with you, but I may not disagree. I may agree with you. And if that's in other words, I'm recognizing that you've raised a serious objection, and I have to really consider it. And there is then the possibility that I made a mistake. That's what we're saying. That's what we're talking about. We're talking essentially about schus and chov. The issue of eidus is a totally different issue. Therefore, it's a kiddush. In dinei mamonos, if the Bezdin is convinced that they made a mistake, that's the question over here. Once Bezdin gives a psak, does it have this finality to it? And in dinei mamonos, no. If Bezdin is convinced that they made a mistake, they have the right to overturn, to uproot the decree. For you have to do two things. You have to uproot the decree, and then they can deliberate and come with a new decree. So they were in error. If the psak was in error, the Bezdin has a right to revoke it. Now, what about in dinei nefashos? It would seem to be the same thing is true. In terms of Mishpat, it would seem to be the same thing is true. Because Bezdin recognizes that they may have erred. So if somebody comes forth with a new idea, and Bezdin recognizes that they erred, they have the right to overturn the din. That we see in the case of Machzir and Luschus. If he was found guilty, so that's not the end of the story. So they have the right to overturn their decree. Therefore, the question, of course, is why does it work the same way? It should work the same way if he was found innocent. Because they tried him. Same process. They deliberated. And they came to a conclusion. They voted and they found him to be innocent. Yeah, but then afterwards, somebody comes into Bezdin and says, you guys made a big mistake. He said, well, what about basis? What was the svara to set him free? That's not a svara. That's not true. That's rejected. That idea has been rejected. And so on and so forth. And now, they're sitting around saying, you're right, we made a mistake. Can they change the decree? So basically, the Mishnah saying no. Of course, the question is why not? Now, let's go to the Gemara. Had the Gemara on Daf Lamed Gimel Aleph. Tana Rabbanan Minayim Liyotzi Mibeis Chayiv. From whence do I know that if someone left Beis Din Chayiv, he was found guilty? So he's on his way to be executed. V'yamar Echad, and someone said, Yeshli Lilmod Olav Schus. I can be Malamed Schus. That is to say, I can argue and show you why he's innocent. Minayin Shemachzirin also. From whence do I know that you bring him back? Bring him back, of course, meaning to say that they're going to now further continue to deliberate, and there is the possibility that they'll find him innocent. Talmud Lomar, Nuki Altarog. The Nuki, someone who's innocent, you shouldn't kill. Now, of course. Chayin L'yotzmi Bezin Zakai, the Amar Echad, Yeshli, L'lame Dolav Chova. And now, how do I know that if he went out of Bezin innocent, and somebody says, I could be Malame Chov, Minayin She'ein Machzir Kosev. How do I know that you're not Machzir him? You don't bring him back. Obviously, you see that it's good kasha. Logically, you should follow, you bring him back. Talmud Lomar, Tzadik Al Tarog, that a tzadik you shouldn't kill. Zin Shmos, Chav Gimel, Pasik Vav, Lo Sata Mishpot, Avion Chabrivo, you should not distort the judgment of the poor person in his dispute. Midvar Sheker Tirchok, you should distance yourself from Dvar Sheker. Vinaki Vitzadik Al Tarog. Kilowatstik Russia. And you should not kill a Nucky or a Tzaddik. That's an interesting expression. Because Nucky is innocent. Tzaddik, what does Tzaddik have to do with it? Generally speaking, we think of a Tzaddik in a different light. What does a Tzaddik have to do with it? Mm-hmm. Tzaddik commits a crime, so he's going to have to be judged like anybody else.
No, what that is righteous.
Okay, so that's the Pusik. That's the Pusik. So what does Rashi say? Let's see what Rashi says. Naki mashma minachet. Naki implies from the sin. The afalpish in eschayev bedin. Even though he's found guilty chayev in din. Listen carefully to the words, because we have to really. Tzadik mashma shenit tzadik bedin. Tzadik is mashma that he was found to be righteous in din. The afalpi she'eino naki, even though he's not innocent. There was an element of contradiction or inconsistency over here too. Because if you're going to say that this entire issue is determined by not the actual reality, as has been mentioned, there's two things. There's reality. And then there's the legal phenomenon. There's a certain legal reality. Right? Yeah, they're in the American system, I keep referring to that. Person's found, it means not guilty, doesn't mean that we're saying he's innocent. It just means he has not been found legally guilty. So, but here too, what are we talking about? If we're saying that the issue of returning is based upon, is if it's based upon the physical reality, so you can have an inconsistency. Because, if it's based upon the physical reality, so okay, he's innocent in terms of the physical reality. So that's why he goes back. But then the other way around, if he's guilty in terms of the physical reality, so then he should be brought back. Or if it's based upon the legal reality, so it should be the same thing. Am I right to say, if it's based upon the legal reality, you're saying like this, that he's been found innocent. In the legal reality. It's a tzaddik meaning in the legal reality. It's not a tzaddik in the physical reality. So, but you're saying, don't go by the physical reality, go by the legal reality. Okay? So then why don't you say the same thing in the case of where he's found guilty? When he's found guilty, you say, don't go by the, then go by the legal reality. The legal reality is Chayav Misa. But here you're saying differently. You're saying that, no, we can't go by the physical reality. I'm sorry, we can't go by the legal reality. We have to go by the physical reality. You follow what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Mentioned before, when the person is finally, if he is executed, it's not true to say that he's really executed for committing the crime. That's not the case. And I explained already the difference between Dini Nefashos and Dini Mamonos, the role of Bezdin, if you remember. The role of Bezdin in Dini Mamonos, Bezdin is not creating a new reality. It's really essentially Bira Hadava. After all is said and done, Bezdin is, there's a confusion in terms of the monetary arrangements, complex monetary arrangements. So the role of Bezdin is not it's not going to create an obligation upon you. Bezdin comes to the conclusion that after all is said and done, it goes through all the complex transactions, that you owe so-and-so $50, it's not creating an obligation. That obligation existed all the time. The Bezdin's role is Bira Hadava, to clarify what's going on. However, that's not the case in Dinei Nefashos. In Dinei Nefashos, the role of Bezdin is to create the reality. That is to say, when Bezdin pronounces the verdict that you're a Russia, it's really a Russia. It gives him the shame Russia in the Gavra. When they say he's Chayim. So Bezdin is creating a reality in the Gavra. Bezdin doesn't create that kind of reality in Dinei Mamonos. And therefore, you can't execute a person just because he killed someone. Well, prior to Bezdin having a Gemara Din, they can't execute him. Even though we know that he did the action. They've got to deliberate, and they've got to find him guilty. If they don't find him guilty, so then he's not Chayav Misa. The Chayav Misa stems from the shame and the Gavra that's created by Bezdin. It can only be through the mechanism of Bezdin. So therefore, we see the significance of the right, that there is a legal reality. So if that's the case, this person's been found guilty. There's a shame Russia in the Gavra. So, what happened to the Chiyuv to execute him? Bezdin has a Chiyuv to execute him. And the Rambam says that once the Bezdin finds the person to be Chayav Misa, so Bezdin, it's a mitzvah said that Bezdin has to actually execute him according to whichever one of the four executions are relevant. So that's the question. What's going on over here? How does it work out? I mean, it's nice to say Nuki, it's nice to say that Nuki Altara. What does that mean? Okay? To proceed now, we'll come back to these questions. We're going to proceed to work our way through the Gemara. Amar Rav Simi Bar Ashi, Rav Simi Bar Ashi said, V'chilufa l'mesis. And it's the exact opposite by a mesis. So let me ask, what's a mesis? This is a seducer who seduces someone. Now, the mesis that we're talking about is where the objective of the seduction was Avodah Zarah. To try and seduce somebody into Avodah Zarah. That's the case where you get the death penalty. Not only the death penalty, but it seems to be the worst offense in terms of the whole Torah system. Because everything is overturned over here. In general, the objective is, as we saw, is to save. The Shaftu v'Yitzilu. However, when it comes to the Mesis, to the contrary, everything is set up in the opposite manner to destroy the person. Through the legal system, again, through Mishpat. But the Mishpat is set up in a manner where the objective is really to find him guilty, not innocent. That all actions in the mission that we learned about that are to increase the possibility on the side of Schus, all the advantages, to the contrary, by Mesis. I want to mention that the Isser of Mesis extends to any Avera. That if a person tries to convince another Jew to committing an Avera, Chil Shabbos, or Treif, whatever the case may be, you try and talk somebody into doing an Aveira, that's the Isra of Mesis. That's a very serious thing. Rav Moshe holds, for example, that, you know, it's prohibited to invite people on Shabbos that are going to drive. So he makes a distinction between a case where it's impossible for the person to walk, a person lives like 10, 20 miles away, and if you invite them for a meal on Shabbos, he says that's Mesis, because the very invitation is telling them to drive. So you know how to do that. As opposed to a case where they're close, they can walk. Let's say they live a half mile away, but they're not Shomer Shabbos, so they're lazy, so they're going to get into the car. There he says it's not Mesis, because the very invitation per se was not an invitation to drive, they can walk. But he says that's a matter of lifnei iver. You're setting a stumbling block for them. You're establishing, so to speak, a trap. Because had you not extended the invitation, so then they wouldn't be driving to your house. And don't ask me, but they'll be doing Mechal Shabbos anyways and other ways. That's not your business. Your responsibility lies within this particular activity of a Chil Shabbos. You can't justify that. For example, you can't ask a Jew who doesn't keep the Torah, Mechal Shabbos, to come in and light a light for you on Shabbos by saying that, well, what's the difference? He's being Mechal Shabbos anyways. Doesn't matter. Every activity of Chil Shabbos is very serious, and you can't be involved in being the cause. I'm just pointing this out to mention that the prohibition of Mesis applies across the board. It would extend to a Jew persuading a Gentile with regard to one of the Sheva Mitzvot B'nei Noach, obviously. That if you do anything which is convincing him, talking him into a violation which would be prohibited to him because of the Sheva Mitzvot B'nei Noach, so that's Mesis too. The only thing is that because the reason for that is that the definition of Mesis has to do with the mitzvahs. That is, that you become someone who seduces another individual into violating a mitzvah. So Gaim also have mitzvahs, if they keep the seven Noachide laws. But the death penalty that we're talking about would apply only in the case of a Jew who seduced another Jew into Avodah Zarah. Yeah, then to an ordinary criminal, even for the capital case, the death penalty, all the advantages of trying to bring him back, Malina Mesatin, and so on and so forth, all of the advantages which are based upon this phenomenon of Rachmanis do not apply by a Mesis, because it says Lo Sachmo. So therefore, if a Mesis is tried and he's found guilty, and then someone says, Yeshli Lumulel of Schus, I have a Schus, then we don't bring him back. Even though if we were to hear this Schus, we might accept it. Obviously, it's got to be something which has mamash, it has substance. And if we were to listen to it, it's possible that on that basis we would overturn our decision and we would declare it to be innocent. The answer is no. The answer is that we allow him to be killed. That only makes the matter more difficult, because what happened to the psukim of Inaki Mitzadik al Tarab? It says, Lo Sachmol, Velo Sachasa Olav. That a Mesis you're not supposed to have mercy on. Any type of a covering, any type of a... any type of a extenuation, any extenuating circumstances. You're not supposed to... Well, what does that mean? What does that mean? Of course, it's you shouldn't have mercy, but we're talking in the legal sense. How does that express itself in the halachic sense? Gehana masni mi kihorog targenu. Rav Masni learns it from the pasuk of Kihoro Targenu. What does that mean? What's he saying? Well, what is he Masni? Fill in the missing blanks. Basically, he's citing an alternative pasuk for the Mesis, Kihoro Targenu. So it seems like there's some kind of machlokas over here as to whether this is derived from Lo Sachmo Velo Sachasa or Kihoro Targenu. Alright, so we'll see if we can figure that out. They both agree. They agree on the law, but the source they disagree on. Okay. Boy, minei Rav Zeira and Rav Sheshes. So Rav Zeira asked the question of Rav Sheshes. Chayve Golios. Should it be minayin? It should be included, right? No? My, oh my. Oh. My. Chayve Golios. What's Chayve Golios? Everybody knows what that is. Those who are subject to exile. And who are they? Right. You don't know that, right? If someone kills somebody, b'shogeg. That's a whole sugya in its own right. Meaning to say it was an accident. But it was not any kind of an accident. It's a degree of negligence. It's a degree of negligence which the person should have taken precautions against. The whole Gemara in Makos describes all these different, you know, if the negligence is too great, then it's karv l'mezid, so then he doesn't go to Golos. The reason is because Golos is a mechaper. And this sometimes he could be, it's interesting, he can find himself not subject to a punishment, but that's a detriment to him. That's the punishment, that he doesn't get a punishment. If the negligence is such that it was karov lemezid, but it's not actual mezid, because there's a mezid has to be where you tell you point the gun and you it's got to be direct. But a person can be throwing stones in a very crowded area, and it's very negligent. It's very karov lemezid, but it's not mezid itself because there was no specific activity of a meiser etzicha directed at someone in specific. But it's karov lemezid. Obviously, you know, you're throwing rocks over a bike overpass on a highway, so it's very carved amazing. It's going to hit a window and it's going to kill somebody. But that's not a specific act of first degree murder, so to speak. It's just a very criminal degree of negligence.
He just has to be worried about the girl at home.
So therefore, that person would not go to Golos, even though it's not amazing, because it's too close to amazing. So he doesn't have a... because... the Golos is a mechaper. His sin is too severe for that kapara. On the other hand, if the accident is too karav la'ones, you see, you could also have an accident which is very, very clear. It's like an ones. It's not really his fault. It's a very minor degree, so to speak, of negligence. The degree of negligence is so small that it doesn't warrant. The crime is not serious enough to warrant a Golos. So Golos, it's got to be a certain degree. That's serious, that it's a significant amount of negligence, but it's not karv l'mezid. What exactly the parameters are, that's if you study Makos. So such a person who killed in that manner is chayiv to go to exile, Eir Miklot, a city of refuge. Okay? So now the Gemara is asking, my, what? What's the question of the Gemara? The Gemara is asking, does it operate the same way? That is to say, that machzir, machzir in l'schus, we bring back for exoneration, v'yeh machzir in l'chov. Okay? So the Gemara answers, asya rotzeach, rotzeach. This is a gzera shava. So Rashi explains that the term rotzeach is used in both cases. Ksiv b'chai v'misos, yumas ha-rotzeach. It says that the rotzeach should be killed. Uchsiv b'chayve golos lonus shama rotzeach. That the rotzeach should run there. All right, so it's gzeira shava. Of course, you have to explain that. I mean, just because the same word occurs in both places, what's it teaching you? What's the idea? Then the Gemara says chayve malkios. Amai. Same question. Now, what about chayve malkos? This is a broader category. People who were over Averos that carry the Malkus penalty. So the answer is Asya Rasha Rasha. That we deduce it from the fact that the term Rasha is employed by both. Again, Rashi Ksiv B'dinei Nefashos Asheru Rasha Lamos. That he's a Rasha Lamos. Ksiv B'chayvei Malkos V'hoyam Binakos HaRasha. All right, so it's the same type of an answer. It's just that it's two different words. You have the two words. You have the word rotzeach, and you have the word Russia. So, as far as the chayvei golios are concerned, it's the word rotzeach. The gzera shava rotzeach is definitive. And as far as the chayvei malchus is concerned, it's the word Russia. Tanya nami hachi. We learned it all in another, okay, in a Tosefta. Chayve Golios Minayin, Asya Rotzeach Rotzeach. Chayve Malkus Minayin, Asya Rasha Rasha. Okay. So basically,